I'm sitting with you, Katya Murumtseva, talking about your art and a bit about being a Russian artist living outside Russia. So could you start by telling a bit about how you ended up in New York City?
I actually got to the United States a couple years ago because I got a Fulbright fellowship. It's a fellowship from the U.S. Department of State to do a grad school. And I couldn't choose my school. Fulbright chose it for me, and they sent me to Richmond, Virginia to study there and to teach there. And after graduation, I moved to New York because it's the most interesting city in the United States from my point of view.
And we are exhibiting your series of artworks featuring Russian political prisoners. Could you share how you and why you started painting these portraits?
Initially, I started it, I think, 1 year ago. Initially, it was an initiative from the feminist anti-war resistance. It's a group of people from Russia who decided to raise their voices against the war. And most of them live abroad, but some of them live in Russia. And they are actually very active in terms of anti-war activity. And they initiated a lot of performances, actions, and everything. And they decided to do an exhibition in Paris, outdoors exhibition, where they wanted to feature some of the female political prisoners in Russia. And they asked several artists whom they knew before to draw the portraits of these political prisoners. And at the end, it was an exhibition in the boulevard when they printed all these artworks with some information about the prisoners themselves. That's how I started. They asked me to do a portrait of Victoria Petrova. She's still under investigation, and I think Russian government accused her on this new law that she spread some fakes about Russian army when she actually told the truth on her social media about bombing in Ukraine. And I did her portrait, and then I read all her case, and I decided to continue. I decided that I need to know more, and I need to see more stories, what's going on inside Russia with the political prisoners. And that's how I started to read everything. And actually, the Memorial, the organization, human rights organization in Russia, who got a Nobel Prize recently, they were really helpful because they have all this information on their website. So if anybody is interested in that, they can Google Memorial and they can find all the information about all the cases with the photos of people. Because I couldn't find anything else on the internet that was so structured and so well done. And that's how I learned about all these persecutions. And at the moment when I started, there were like about 500 political prisoners on this website. And initially I wanted to draw everybody, but I understood that it's a little bit too much for me emotionally and just in terms of time. And I drew 50 portraits of political prisoners. And first time I exhibited in London in June during my show Women Against Women in Black Against the War. And I had one room with the portraits and one room with the female figures wearing black and holding white flower as a sign of anti-war resistance.
And what was the response of that exhibition?
I actually spent a lot of time with the visitors in the show, because along with the artworks themselves, I also did a performance. So I invited people to come over to the exhibition space, and I did the portraits of their shadows, and I interviewed them. I asked them one question: when did you start feeling that you actually live in history, that your life somehow connected to the bigger picture, to the politics, to the society where you live in? And I had around like five or four people per day. So while interviewing, I also did the portrait of their shadow with watercolor. And we talked a lot about the war and about history that is going on now. And the response was very emotional. I actually shared the information about the political prisoners, because we sat in the room with all these portraits, and we were like surrounded by all these people who resist. And it was really emotional. And I think that people saw that the resistance in Russia actually exists, because it's not very common to talk about it. And people had no idea how many political prisoners are now under the investigation or in jails in this moment.
And could you say something about the techniques you use making these portraits? Is it also watercolor you mentioned before, or?
Yes, it's watercolor. So I start with the outline. So I ask a person to sit on the chair, and I put the light bulb in front of them, and I trace their profile because the shadow is casting on the wall, and I put the paper on the wall. So I can see the shadow of the person on the wall on the paper, and I trace it with a pencil. And then we go to the table, and I put a lot of water inside this profile that I traced, and then I pour watercolor inside this water. And person whom I interviewed, they also watching the process with all of this leaking color, and sometimes it looks like Rorschach test, you know, the psychology test when you need to guess what's going on in the like abstract form. And that's the technique.
That sounds great. But could you say something about the technique doing the portraits that we exhibit in Copenhagen, because that's slightly other technique, right?
It's not the other technique. It's kind of similar, but it's much more controlled, because in the shadow portrait, I don't have any face features. I have just the shadow itself, and we don't see the eyes, the nose, you know, the face expression, anything. But in the portraits of the political prisoners, it was very important for me to show the eyes, and to establish some kind of eye contact with the viewer. And actually, a lot of people during the exhibition, they asked me, was it intentional that all the eyes of these people, they're like so emotional, and people could see it, and they could feel them as like people, you know, not only as an artwork. So the portraits of political prisoners, they're much more detailed. And I actually wanted to show how the person looks like, because all of them are shadows, you know, in the Russian incarceration system. And I wanted to invert this. I wanted to show them their face features, not just shadows and just name and the case, you know.
Do you follow some of these prisoners, like on Instagram or Telegram, and their support groups?
Yes. When I started working on Victoria Petrova's portrait, I started following her. So I always get all this news about her. I also follow Maria Ponomarenko, and her condition is really awful. And now she got 6 years in prison, and now they sent her to the colony, and she's in quarantine. So there is no communication with her. Also, I follow Sasha Skochelenko and her relatives on the Instagram. And sometimes I just get other news from other political prisoners through my friends who know some of them. Or, for example, in Pushkin House, they told me a lot about Karamurza, who's a politician and who also got, I think, like 20 years or something in prison, like a really big, yeah, because he's one of the most famous political prisoners because he was actually involved into politics. And I don't remember how they phrased his case, something like betrayal of the motherland or something like this. Maybe it's not like the correct translation, but still, it's just, the reason is his political position, of course. He didn't do anything wrong, so he just wanted to defend some democratic values and to protest against Putin and his regime.
Was he the one that was in the, you know, this Navalny documentary film that got awarded?
No, he was not in this documentary, but I think he had some contact with Navalny before, because he was a politician too, so of course they met.
And you mentioned that something, the colony, that it was one of the prisoners would go further into some colony. What does that mean, really?
It means that when they are under investigation, they usually kept in their hometowns. For example, if they're from St. Petersburg, they are in this pre-trial jail in St. Petersburg, and it's easier to connect with them. Because they are not accused yet, but when they got their prison sentence, it's very hard to contact them, and the government can send them all over the country to Siberia, you know, to really, really like cold region. So it's another form of torture. And of course, the most dangerous for Russian government prisoners, for the Russian government, they are sent to the most awful penal colonies, like Navalny, who was sent in this Pokrov, as I remember, colony that is like the hell.
So, living so far away from Europe and the war and everything, how does that affect, or does that affect your art in some way?
I think it gave me some sort of strength to do this work. I think if I'm in Russia when the war started, or somewhere close in Europe, I would not be capable to even think about art and to do any artworks. And when the war started, I volunteered. And then I was thinking, what else can I do? Well, when I'm so far away, and I saw this protest, Women in Black Against the War, that was initiated by feminist anti-war resistance, and then it really, really inspired me to draw these images, to find all these images on the internet, and to memorize them through my technique. And my initial idea was also a fundraising campaign, because when I exhibit these works, and if they're sold, I send all the money to this organization that is called Helping to Live, and they support Ukrainian refugees. They help them to settle down in Europe or other countries when they end up. So I think that being far away, first, it kept me away from prison, because I think if I'm in Russia, I would be one of people in my own portraits, you know. Second, it really helped me to stay strong and to do these works and to spread information about the resistance through the artworks.
Can you say something about what went through your mind when the war started?
I think I would never forget this night, because for me it was night time because of the time difference. And I was actually the first person who got this news. All my family and friends, most of them are in Europe and they were in Russia. They slept. So I remember I texted my mom because the war started at 6 a.m. and it was midnight for me or something like this. And I texted my mom, началась война. That means the war started. And I couldn't sleep. I spent all the night just checking the news, because some independent media, they still were functioning. So the information was available, not like now. And they showed everything that was going on in the real time, how Russian troops invaded Ukraine and they decided to go to Kyiv and everything else. And it was just, I couldn't even imagine that. I was not ready. I did not expect the war, you know. And then the next day, or maybe the day, several day days after, I started volunteering for one human rights organization in Russia, who they help political prisoners. And my role was to connect with people who went to protest in Moscow or in other cities, and to connect them with the lawyers if they are arrested. And the most surreal thing was when my sisters, I have two sisters, they're twins, and they went to the protest in Moscow, and I've got a message from my sister, Katya, we are arrested. And they were put in the police truck, and they told me there are 40 more girls with them in this police car. And all these girls, they were from 18 to 35. So, and I started to write down all the information about people who are in this police car, to pass this information to the lawyers, because they all needed the lawyers to defend them. And my sisters told me that they spent several hours in this car. The police didn't let them to go to the bathroom. They didn't let them to communicate with the lawyers, anything. But they told me that was the best rest in their life, because all these women, they're like so brave and so great, you know. Most of them were students or just recently graduated, and they really formed a community, a real community. And I know that after this arrest, they all got something like a fine or something like this. I think nobody was actually sent to jail, but they the police told them that if they see them again in any kind of protest, they will end up in jail definitely. So this was like some sort of a warning, and they spent one day at the police station, because they were waiting in the line when all the documents were prepared on their case. And then they actually, some of them became friends. They started to communicate, they started to discuss what's going on in their lives, how their parents react on the war. And one thing that I really remember was the story from one of the girls from this police car. She actually texted everybody that her parents, they watch the news from Russian propaganda channels all the time. And she tried to convince them that it's not true, that's propaganda, and they wouldn't listen to her. So what she did, she, during the night, she just threw the TV set to the garbage bin, and she disconnected it. And when her parents got up, they just didn't have any TV to watch. So this is some sort of domestic protest against propaganda, because in this situation, propaganda itself, it's one more tool. It's really a weapon from the Russian government against their own citizens.
How is it to, maybe you answered it before, but how is it to experience all this, your sisters and other people you know, hear about, and being so far away from, being so detached? You said before it made you stronger in doing your art, but what kind of feelings and dilemmas could is in it as well?
Yeah. Actually, initially I was thinking maybe I need to go back to Russia and to support the anti-war movement. You know, when it just started, I had this ideas in my mind. But then the Russian government started to launch all this ridiculous laws that any anti-war activity will be persecuted, and you can end up in jail just for like post on the Instagram or something like this. So I realized that even if I really want to go back, it's just ridiculous to do this now, because it can end up really badly with me. So and of course it was hard for me to be abroad, because the only people with whom I could talk about this situation are people who were in this situation. And since I am in the States, and I was not in a big city, I was in a small city, and I was in a graduate school that time, and people were really supportive with me, of course, because they heard the news and everything, but they could not connect with this on the deeper way level, because they never experienced something like this, of course. And I didn't want to put all these emotions of them too, because it was really hard. I just cried all the time. I had migraines. I couldn't go to my studies. I couldn't do my thesis. I was just like disabled, you know. So that's how I felt. But then after a month or two being in this stress, I realized that if I continue like that, this is really good for Putin, you know. He's like destroying me too in this case. And I thought that I need to stop being so emotional. I need to do something. And that's how I started doing this anti-war artworks, because I felt this is a scenario that's only thing that I actually can do. And these works actually helped me to overcome all this depression and deepest anxiety that I've ever had in my life.
So what are your prospects of returning to Russia, you think?
Now, after all the anti-war shows and interviews that I've done, I think it's not a good idea for me to come back under this government. But I still hope that something will change, because Russian history is, it's so eclectic, you know, and some things are just happening overnight, you know, like this case with Prigozhin, who decided to go to Kremlin, you know, or then he was murdered. And so it's really, it's so unpredictable. So I hope that one day I would be able to go back to Russia and I would be able to work as an artist there and as an art teacher, because it's very important for me to, and I would be able to convey all these democratic values that I have and that I believe in.
So our both the exhibition and our performance has the title "I Trust You." So that's one important theme of the performance and the exhibition. So when I say that, do you have any thoughts on that theme in connection to Russia? What comes into your mind?
Maybe this is actually a deepest problem, because people do not trust each other and they're very separated. And the state propaganda, the goal of the state propaganda is to demolish all the trust among people. And I think it's a really good topic. And back in Russia, when I lived there, I worked a lot with care homes, with the elderly people. I visited them in their nursery homes far away from Moscow. And I saw how important trust is, because most of these people, they didn't have anybody to rely on. That's how they ended up in the care homes. And the society where they lived in actually was the reason of this lack of trust. And when I went to these care homes, I went with other young people, and I saw how much these younger people are different, because they actually have trust to each other and they actually wanted to change something in their society. And they went to these care homes to communicate with the elderly people and to establish some connection. So I feel that, and after that, I also worked with the teenagers in Moscow, and I felt how great they are and how different they are. So I have a lot of hope for them.
Thank you, Katya, for sharing your thoughts. I don't have more questions. Do you have something you would like to add, or?
I just want to say thank you to the feminist anti-war resistance. I think they're a very great organization, very horizontal one, and I really respect what they're doing. And I think they started their organization on the February 25th, so one day after the war started. And since then, they're very, very active, and they're doing a lot to support the resistance and the prisoners in Russia and any sort of anti-war activity. And I want to thank you and other artists who actually talk about it. It's a really difficult topic, and I think it's very important to say something on it and just to show that not all Russian people support the war, and a lot of them trying to do something, and a lot of them are not silent.